All right, what's up? Good morning, church. Good to see you. Glad that you're here. Big welcome to all of those who tune in online. It's so good to have all of you. I know that a lot of people tune in and you actually don't watch live. The majority of our viewership happens during the week. And it doesn't matter what day it is, what time it is, what your location is. We're glad you're a part of this church and a part of this family. And we pray today the message and the service blesses you. So welcome to those of you online. Welcome to all of those in the room. Good to have you. How you feel this morning? All right, good. Listen, I'm a lively guy. I'm energetic and I'm interactive, okay? So some feedback. I'm just going to go ahead and call for it right now. You ever heard the term shout the preacher down? You can shout me down when I'm preaching today, okay? That's what I'm talking about right there. That's it. Very good. So I always tell people I don't need it, but it does help me. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm excited about today's message. So we've been, if you're a guest, by the way, you wouldn't know some things that my wife and I were gone, Lauren here on the front row. We were gone for 40 days on a sabbatical, and so we got back into action now a couple of weeks ago, but our first Sunday back with the church was last Sunday. And so typically I communicate in series. That's my preference. It's the way I like to do it. But for these last 2 weeks, I've just been preaching what I call standalone messages. In other words, they're just all by themselves. And it's been fun for me because I've been able to just sort of like cultivate out of my own quiet time and hear from God, like, what do you want me to share with our church that's like hot off the press right now? And so I'm excited to get into today's message. We do have notes if you're a note taker. Those are in the seat backs in front of you. If you're on the front row, they are underneath the chair. They are available digitally online. But how many of you guys, when you were in school, you had show and tell? Have you guys ever participated in show and tell? How many of you guys couldn't stand the people that did? Where you at? Come on, right? Like nobody cares about your stupid toy, okay? All right, and I get that. But today, we're going to do a little show and tell. Is that okay with you? A little show and tell. I have something that I brought. I'm going to show, and I'm going to tell about it, all right? And it's going to serve as a sermon illustration at the same time. And so I'm going to have to ask you to forgive me, but I brought my favorite toy, favorite thing that I have, because I believe that God is going to use this today to speak to you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you. This is one of my favorite toys right here. This is a 2019 Hoyt Carbon RX3. It's part of Hoyt's Redwork edition. I know that means nothing to a lot of you, but it means a lot to me. This is a weapon, okay? And I'm just going to say that out front. And if you're nervous about it, I want you to know something. There are not arrows anywhere on the facility. I do not have a release anywhere on this facility. And I zip-tied my string to my cable. It cannot even be drawn back, okay? So if it makes you uncomfortable, I've made this as safe as possible. This is one of my bows. I said one of them. I'm a nerd. I love it. And I have a few. This is, though, one of my favorite ones. And I just want to talk to you about it today. Is that okay? Is that okay if I just talk to you about my favorite toy? Hoyt, by the way, is like a brand. It's like Ford, okay? RX3 is the model. It's like F-150. That's what we're looking at, okay? And I like this one, but just a little bit. Like this part of the bow right here, by the way, is called the riser. That's what they call this. These are called limbs, top and bottom. Right here, these little animals, top and bottom, are called cams. You got a string stop back here. You got a little D-loop. You got a peep sight. That's kind of like your rear sight. And then on the front here is a you know, just a sight. I'm a multi-pin guy. I'm going to be speaking Spanish to some people. I'm a multi-pin guy. Some guys prefer like the one-pin slider. It's not my language, okay? I like this is how I roll. It's not really a great sight, but it's what's on this bow. This is called a stabilizer. Some guys might refer to this as a front bar because a lot of archers will also run what's called a back bar. I'm not cool enough yet for that. Maybe one day I don't do that. But this is my bow. And I really, really like it a lot. And I shoot it all the time. In fact, I was shooting it last night in the backyard just because I wanted to be real familiar with it for today's illustration. But I brought this today for a bigger reason, because I'm not that nerdy. I've been an archer for many, many years. I am a deer hunter, particularly a bow hunter. I prefer. I tell people this, I'm not prejudiced. I will shoot them with anything. I just prefer to shoot them with arrows. Say amen right there. Say amen. Thank you. All right, I got some support. And I know there's some people that just bothers you. You're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But I just want to, just for your sake, the Bible says Genesis chapter 27, verse 3. The Bible says, take your bow and a quiver full of arrows and go out into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Amen. Amen. Now, in all transparency, I may have pulled this slightly out of context, but that is an actual verse in the actual Bible, and I simply say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, I brought this for more than just fun, because I do totally nerd out. You know, I'm a QAD follow-away rest right there, and my dampeners and all the cool stuff that this thing brings. But there's something about this bow that I actually want to talk about, and that is this, that right now, as we are here and I hold this weapon on the platform, this bow is under enormous tension, enormous amount of tension. In fact, these limbs right here on this particular bow are 70-pound limbs. What that means is that when I get ready to take my shot and I get into my draw, when I draw, I have to pull 70 pounds to get this bow to what's referred to as the back wall. When I settle in and I anchor and I get ready to take my shot, which is pretty awesome. But thank God these cams have 80% let off, so I only hold 20% of that weight on the back wall, and then I can just stand there and tune in and get ready. Okay, anyway, that's not the point. The point though is that this bow is really under an enormous amount of tension. Enormous amount. In fact, I have a bow press at home, and if I was to stick this in my bow press, it would pull on these limbs in both directions, and it would make this string very, very loose. And if I pulled my string and cables off this bow, and then I unwound my bow press, these limbs actually would like rock way out here, about like this, and the cams would just sort of roll like this. And first of all, it wouldn't look nearly as cool as it looks right now, but it also would completely lose its effectiveness. Because this piece of equipment is actually designed to operate under tension. And the thing is, there's a lot of stuff in our life like that. Like, for example, the serpentine belt on your car. It's useless unless it's under incredible tension. Those of you that like to exercise, you don't grow unless you put your muscles under tension and strain. And there's a stretch involved. My bow, your bow, your serpentine belt, your muscles, whatever it is, you could probably think of dozens of other examples. They are designed to operate under tension. Instruments operate under tension. The guitar strings and the piano hits the chords that are under enormous tension, and that is what actually makes them function properly. Now, the interesting thing, I think, about this bow, most of all, is that at the point of its peak potential, meaning when I hook my release to it, and I get into my draw, and I'm at full draw at the back wall waiting to aim and shoot, at its best moment of potential, it's under its highest amount of tension. Now, some bows come a little different than this. I actually have a bow at home that has 80-pound limbs, meaning 80-pound pull. Joe Rogan, some of you guys know who Joe is, right? Joe Rogan actually shoots a knock-on edition by PSE and John Dudley, and he actually has 90-pound limbs, meaning that Joe Rogan, he got some big old shoulders and arms too, that when Joe draws his bow, it is 90 pounds that he has to pull to get that thing back. Now, the amount of tension in that bow, I cannot imagine. I also cannot draw 90 pounds. My arms need to grow. I need to go to the gym a little bit. The whole point of my illustration today is that this bow is designed to be in tension. It's supposed to be in tension. And I actually think that you and I are just like this bow. I actually believe the longer I live, the longer that I walk with Jesus, the more that I live this life of faith, I actually find this truth becoming more and more aware to my mind and to my understanding, that I actually think that God has designed me to work best in tension. The irony is, I like to avoid tension. I like to stay away from it. I actually would prefer not to be in tense situations or under stress. I like things to go my way. I really like it when things just work out. I like it when I don't have to navigate an issue or a problem, overcome an obstacle, climb any unnecessary hills. I prefer cruise control. I like my feet to be up. I like to lay back a little bit. I like to just enjoy things. I would like to think that by following Christ Jesus, that because I love him, because I attend a church, because I serve, because I worship, because I pray, because I read my Bible, because I do the things that good Christians should do, that things should work into my favor as a reward for my efforts. That's what I would like to think, except that's not how this works. Let's get started. I really want to take you to this verse where Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 10 said, "Look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves." Sounds like tension to me. I'm going to send you out as a sheep among wolves. So, because that's tough, you're the bait. I actually need you to have the crafty awareness of the serpent, but I just need you to be as harmless as a dove. The only thing that a dove will do is give you a heart attack when you walk up on it. It flies up out of the, off the ground. Come on, right? They're almost as bad as quails. Quails are the worst. Come on, if you've ever been in the woods, you know what I'm talking about. What do you call that? Little flock? I don't know what you call that. Of quails? A who? A little, thank you, that's the word, that's the correct, the cubby. Little cubby of quail scare you to, you just have a heart attack right there in the woods and never go home. It's terrible. But God said, hey, I'm actually going to send you out into this world. Scripture says that you will be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. The whole thing sounds like tension to me. And I just know me as a person that lives in this carnal body and fully exposed to all of humanity and temptation and all the things that just life in the flesh bring, that I know this, that I don't like to be in tension. I want it easier. I want it to work out. I want it to go my way. And what I've discovered actually is this, and I've thought about this and I've prayed about this. I've been kicking this concept around now for a couple of weeks. And what I've just, in my own just recollection, perhaps, I've thought to myself this, that I actually don't even find myself in seasons where I'm not in tension. I find myself in moments where maybe I'm not in attention. Meaning, I got to celebrate a moment, like, man, I had dreamed of, and that moment was like, this feels great, like almost surreal, right? Just think about when your child was born, if you're a parent, like there's no moment like that. There is no moment like that moment. Like, oh, here they are, this is my child. And then you don't sleep for weeks. And then after a couple of months, their poop stinks. Come on, right? Are we real? I'm just wondering, are we real in the poop? Okay. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in tension. And then the older they get, I think middle schoolers would be the best lawyers in the world, by the way, because they can debate anything convincingly. They can sell you. They are the best arguers on the planet. It astounds me. And sometimes you just want to, like, lay your hands on them. Come on, I'm just trying to be. But at the same time, aren't there moments where you're just like, this is worth it? Like, yes, like what an honor it is to be a mom, to be a dad, whatever it is, okay? Whatever it is. And you, if you're not a parent, just find your own thing, moments where it's like, yeah, this is tough, but man, this is great. I just know being a pastor, I find myself living in this reality all of the time. I actually feel like one of the responsibilities, the call on the life of the ministry leader is to just manage the tension. Because some of you vote this way, and some of you vote this way. And some of you come from this area, and some of you came from that area, and some of you are from this generation, and some of you are from that generation, and some of you have this background, and some of you have that background, and some of you are very seasoned in God, and some of you are very young in God, and my responsibility is just to stand and lead the tension. But tension actually can be a very good thing. I'm going to give you the title to my sermon today. I'm calling it Good Intention. Because I actually think that we're good for it. We're best in it. That we're really, really good when we're actually in tension. And so my hope today is that when we are done, when I say, amen, let's celebrate life change today, that we actually reset in our minds, a different way of thinking, that instead of running away from tension, I learn how to manage my tension, because the fact of the matter is, I think we are just like my bow. We are built to operate in tension. Let me show you. The Bible says, I'm only going to give you three examples from the whole Bible. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That does not sound awesome, but like, hey, be joyful about it. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces, like it does something, produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You're good in tension. It's good for me to be in the tension of life, because I'm called by Christ. I'm an alien in this land, because I am a product of the kingdom of heaven, living in the fallen, broken, earthly world. Come on, somebody. Here's another one. When Romans chapter 5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us. We know this. In other words, the tension actually plays toward our benefit. They help us to develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. One more, because you are good in tension. For our light, 2 Corinthians, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Here's the point that I want to make in this little segment of the message today. And I want you to hear it very vividly, very clearly. I want to say it very candidly, that you and I, follower of Christ Jesus, are good in tension. I think you're built for it. We are made to manage the chaos of this earth, knowing that God has called us to be different and to be set apart and to be holy. But still, the Bible says that we actually should have like a palatable sort of presentation of the gospel that people are actually eager to hear and they want to hear. And that sounds to me like tension. It's a hard thing to manage. Now, here's what I don't want you to hear me say. It's like, hey, everybody, stress is good. Let's pray, because that's not my point. Even though tension is a form of stress, tension is actually a thing that we can manage. That's what I want to talk about. So my bow, okay? This bow, when it travels with me to go hunting in every state in the nation, in Jesus' name, amen. It's my bucket list before I die. I would like to harvest something in every state in the continental United States, and if in Alaska, 100%. And I don't know if you can hunt stuff in Hawaii, but if you can, I'll go, man. Let's go. Let's get it done. All right, anyway. When this bow travels with me, it travels a particular way. She don't travel like this. That's not how she goes. No. I take the stabilizer off. I take that thing off of there, and I got my arrows, and I got my quiver, and I got my releases, and I got my gear, and I got all my stuff. And what I do is I put this in its case, which is not the case that I want, but it's the case I can afford. Amen. The case that I want is TSA approved. It's a hard case, runs about $350. If you want to sponsor that effort, look me up. I'm totally playing. But what I do is I transport this bow in its case, because the reality is, because of the tension that it's under, it actually has to be protected. In fact, because of its tension, if you were to pull this bow back without an arrow in it and then release it, it has the potential to completely blow the thing up. Damage my string, blow the cables, it can fracture these limbs. It's engineered actually so perfectly that the weight of my 431 grain arrow that comes ascending out of this thing, amen, balances the pressure perfectly to keep it safe. Now, if you were to put a pair of scissors or a razor, and I would fight you if you come near this thing with those, if you were to get that and you were to cut this string, it would absolutely blow this thing apart. If something was to hit it in the wrong way or to bend this riser, then every part of its tension would become useless. It wouldn't matter. So when I transport my bow, I want to transport it in a way that is very safe. So when me and some of my friends go to Indiana this year, come on, it's gonna be very securely placed in its case, so that when we travel there, it's safe for the journey, and then when we get ready to hunt some deer, I will pull that thing out and I will maximize its tension. So what I want to do to relate that to us is this, and I tried to make all kind of play on words, I hope you enjoy it, is just in case. Like, Pastor, I'm freaking out, man. Like, the stress is overwhelming me. The pressure. I'm trying to be a good witness at work, but I want to punch my manager in the nose. Like, I'm trying to be a godly parent, but it is hard for me not to lose my mind when they do the same thing that I've been trying to teach them, right? Come on, whatever it may be, that I'm under so much financial strain, Pastor, it's hard for me to believe that God would do anything different than what I'm experiencing right now. When the medical report comes in, and I don't know how to handle that, emotionally I'm a wreck, but I'm trying to manage the fact that I am in Christ Jesus, and nothing, no matter what, like if I die, I'm in heaven, but still I want to be here. I don't know, like how am I going to deal with this, or how is this going to impact my family? The pressures of life are real. They're enormous. And oftentimes we feel the compression and we feel the strain. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about, like, where do I go to be safe? It's in the case that I go to be safe. There's a place of protection for the believer designed to be good intention. There's a place we go, and David talked about it. You should just read the whole chapter. Because in Psalm 91, he starts by saying this: whoever dwells, lives, abides, stays in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. David said something very well, that I'm under pressure and strain and tension, but I know where to go. I know where I'm kept safe, and it's in the shelter, it's in the fortress, it's in the presence of the Almighty God. Here we go, a couple more. He continues, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. Now, does this mean that life is just going to be awesome and I'll no longer experience tension? No, because you're at your best intention. You're really good intention. It means that it will not conquer you. It will not overwhelm you. The Bible refers to Philippians 4, this peace in our minds that goes beyond what we can even fathom or understand. It says it this way: it's a peace that surpasses understanding. I think that's the New King James Version. It says it that way. It's bigger than I can even comprehend, but somehow I hold it on the inside. So even though I'm not exactly sure how we're going to make the ends meet by the end of the month, I know that God is in control. And I know that it's not my job that is my provider. He is my provider. And even though I'm under this tension, I know, God, that you have me in your arms, because I know where to run to be safe. I know what to do. Even though this report that the doctor has given me has thrown me for a loop, and emotionally I'm up and down and my mind can't seem to catch up, God, I rest in you in the shelter. I run to your presence. I will abide in you. Put me under your wing. I want to be in the shadow. One more verse. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man, what did they do? They run into it, and that's where they are safe. What I'm saying to us is this, that we're actually designed by God, I believe, to function in tension. And rather than avoid the tension, we should get very focused on the case. Because I gotta know where I can go to be safe. So every day, Every day when we walk with God, we're going to wake up in the tension. Carnality versus spirituality. Worldliness versus godliness. We're gonna live in the tension of being bold about our faith, being confident in the hope of Jesus in a world that doesn't value it, support it, back it up. Tension. We're going to raise our children. We're going to lead our businesses. We're going to work for our employers. We're going to serve in our churches. We're going to make a difference in our community. We're going to do the things that God calls his children to do. And when we live in that space, it's very tense. There's a lot of pressure there because I'm really busy. So for me to make a difference, for me to serve at the church is hard because I'm busy. Welcome to the tension. For me to be a part of a group and actually to, you know, to invest into relationships that are godly and actually to be grown and to be developed by someone else who lives in the same kind of life that I live in, listen, welcome to the tension. For me to be a standout godly business owner with clientele that might not value what I value, welcome to the tension. Come on, I mean, I could give example after example after example after example. Welcome to the tension. So it's not the tension that I can avoid. It's the case that I can go to. I have to run to the safe place with God. Here's what I'm going to say to us. Gosh, man, like, this probably isn't going to wow you. This isn't some brand new revelational nugget that some preacher's never given before. This is the old stuff. And here's what I'm saying to you, is that for me to understand how to operate in the tension, I have to be in the presence of God. And can I dare say, every day. Every day. That I actually need to be in God's Word. Understanding how God thinks, how he speaks, what his character is like, what is his demeanor and personality. I need to understand who he is. I need to call on him in prayer. Because, you know, can I just get my Bible out? Hang on a second. Because Philippians 4, you know, we talk about peace. And we pray for it. Oh, God, we pray that you give peace that surpasses understanding. Somebody tell me the verse I'm looking for. What is it? Come on, 6 and 7. All right, here we go. Check it out. You ready? All right, Philippians chapter 4. Watch this. You said 6. I'm reading 4. Here we go, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Like, Paul, you better back up. I'm going to hit you with something. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than our human mind can understand. And his peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. You want peace that surpasses understanding, then I have to pray about everything. And I know, right? It's not fancy and it's not new and it's not groundbreaking. It's the same old truth. But there is a way that I find the presence of God, and it is in his word. It is in prayer. It is in worship. It is in God's house. It is with God's people, and it is serving other people with God's people. Like, this is the kingdom. And this is how we live in the tension. Under all the pressure, this is exactly how it's done. And I just, like, I think that the church, I could sit here and tell you awesome things happening in just the church of Christ across the world. I could tell you some very disappointing things happening in the church of Christ across the world. Here's what I know. I'm only responsible for this one. This is it. All right, now I'm a champion of all of them. All right, if they stand under the banner of Christ Jesus is the only way to the Father, I'm with them. But I can only be responsible for this one. And so I would like to just preach and declare, like, why don't we just get in God's presence every day? Amen. Like, every day. Like, remember that thing, we used to call it a quiet time? Come on, where y'all at? Come on, we're going to rock it like it's 1999 right here. Called it a quiet time. Like, what if that came back? And what if we just pushed away the distractions of other things and we just said, man, God, this is my time that I am going to be with you. Amen. Am I over time already? I want to say one more thing about my bow. Here's what I want to say. This thing is, in my opinion, just a magnificent piece of engineering. And I just love archery. I love it all. I think it's great. I shoot for therapy. I'm telling you. It's just me in the backyard in the evening. Sending arrows downrange is like one of the best things for me. This thing, again, as I talked about it, and the tension that it's under, and that's where it's most effective. There's something else, though, about this bow. That this bow, with its remarkable engineering, unbelievable tension, and potential, is useless when it's out of my hands. It's of no effect. This bow could live its whole life under enormous tension and pressure. It could be masterfully designed and put together and all the things, and it's actually set and built and designed to operate a certain way. But outside of the hands of the shooter, it's no good. And oftentimes, I find myself just off on the shelf somewhere trying to figure out how to navigate life without being in the presence of who designed me, the presence of the one that brings out my best potential. Because when this bow is drawn and it's all the way back and it's at its peak tension, it's in the hands of its shooter, and its very best is about to be released by its design. And so I'd like to finish today's message with this segment, and I'm going to call it Full Draw. Because this is what it's referred to as. Full draw. Full draw is the place you settle in on all your anchor points. You find your target. You get your breathing right. You squeeze through that trigger. And then you send it downrange to its target. Full draw. Maximum tension. My safe place is in the case. It's in the presence of the Lord. But without being drawn, I am of no effect with the tension that I'm designed to carry in the kingdom. And Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Oh, I love it. And I will raise him up on the last day. That our loving Father is drawing us. And when I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to me. You didn't know Jesus was a bow hunter until today. But man, do we in our humanity often miss it? Because we're running from tension that we're built for. We're engineered and designed to actually function under pressure and under tension. We're called by Jesus himself to be sheep among wolves, aliens in the land, to be in the world, to not be of the world. And rather than running from the tension, we should be running to the shelter of the Most High, because I'm safe in the strong tower. And when I am in the case, I am in the presence of the one who makes me effective. And the Spirit draws out of me my potential. The Spirit of God draws out of me my design. It is the Spirit of the living God that anchors in, acquires target, and sends me to exactly what I was built for. It is the Holy Spirit of the one true living God that draws a lost world to Himself. Hey, you tired of all that pressure? You tired of feeling like you don't have purpose? You don't know what to do? And you feel overwhelmed? Hey, come into my presence, and I'll show you what all that tension's for. I'll bring out the best in you. Come to me. I want to draw everyone to myself. Everybody. I don't care what your story is or your past is, how much you think you've blown it. Don't disqualify yourself. You cannot outrun the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. There is nobody who doesn't qualify for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's inclusive to all people of all ages, all walks of life, all backgrounds, all stories, all sin, all issues, all tension, all stress, all struggle. It is for you. It is for me. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. I'm calling to the unsaved. I'm calling to those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. I'm calling out to you within an expression from the Father. And I'm saying this, hey, did you not know? You didn't know till today that all that tension is on purpose and for purpose? God sent my voice. To call you to the strong tower. Come to the shelter. Come get in the presence of the Most High. Rest under the shadow of His wings. He's drawing you. He's calling you. He's bringing you in to His place for you. If that's you, I want you to make a decision right there where you are. I want you to choose right now. Whether you're tuning in online or you're sitting in this room, I just want you to choose. Yes, I'm going to the strong tower. I'm going to get into the presence of God. What I want to do is I want to lead you in a prayer. It's a very simple prayer. I just want to help guide you into the strong tower. This is your moment of salvation. So, church, you know how we do it. If you are a part of this church family, ask everybody in the room to repeat this prayer after me, because I want those of you saying it for the first time to say it with complete and total confidence. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's celebrate those that made that decision. Congratulations to you. Congratulations.